I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
I'm Emily Rems.
And I'm Callie Watts.
We're both editors of Bust Magazine in Brooklyn, New York.
And we're both hosts of Pop-Tarts, Bust's feminist pop culture podcast.
Pop-Tarts is a twice-monthly podcast that celebrates women in pop culture. The first half of each episode is devoted to a cool guest or hot topic in entertainment. And in the second half, a segment called Whatcha Watchin', we dig into all the shows, movies, books, music, videos, and podcasts we've been enjoying. Plus, our guests are major. Callie, tell these fine people who we've talked to so far.
Well, we've interviewed Awkwafina, Liz Winstead, Jessica Williams, Julie Klausner, Phoebe Robinson, Rachel Dratch, Amber Tamblyn, Justine Bateman, Ricky Lake, Amanda Palmer, Janine Garofalo, and more.
And we have even more great guests coming up. Find us on iTunes at bust.com/poptarts or wherever you get your podcasts. Mwah!
Mwah! Hey, everybody. Welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast where we talk about politics, government structure, and dive into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about gerrymandering.
So get out your district maps.
And let's get civical. Hi, team.
What's up?
We're here. We're back. We're all together again.
Thank God.
It's very exciting. Today, I, Lizzie Stewart, and she, Arden Walentowski, are going to be talking about gerrymandering. we're all going to get frustrated. And by that, I mean, I'm going to get frustrated.
And I'm going to try and calm her down
throughout this entire process. It's not clear.
No.
Gerrymandering. It's not easy. It's not simple.
The lines do not make sense. It is not clear.
The lines are, shall we say, blurred.
Blurred.
Okay. But let's start with what we do know, which is straight up the definition of gerrymandering.
Great. I love
it. So for those of you who don't know, the definition of gerrymandering is when you manipulate the boundaries of an electoral constituency so as to favor one party or class. Arden, translate that.
Great. So that means that you you can't just like randomly draw districts. They have to have like a certain population number in them.
Uh-huh.
And the land has to be, you can't have them like pockets of land in different places. It all has to be contiguous.
What does that mean?
It means continued. It has to be one piece of land.
That is touching.
That is touching.
So we're all touching.
We're all touching.
And if we don't touch, it's no go.
It's no go. No bueno.
Okay. That is so clear. Great. I love it. I love it. So we gerrymander for political gain, right? That's what we do.
Yes. You can also gerrymander if you want to have a particular group, like a demographic group, a racial group, ethnic group represented so that their votes aren't lost in... that they're not like dispersed throughout different congressional districts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that used to be protected under the Voting Rights Act. It is no longer protected under the Voting Rights Act. The fact that you can protect certain people of color.
So we cannot protect them anymore.
Not in this particular sense, no.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Good on us.
I know. We did
well
really well there.
Well done, everyone.
Yeah.
That's stupid. Sorry. Okay. I'm already upset. I'm already upset. Before I black out. What I do love about gerrymandering, the only thing I love about gerrymandering, I will say, this is the only positive thing I have to say about this entire subject, is where the name gerrymandering comes from.
Wait, where does it come from?
No, literally. Okay, shut up. Okay, you're going to die. So back in 17 or 18, a gentleman by the name of Elbridge Gerry.
Shut up.
Like, call your Elbridges in your life. They're going to freak out. Elbridge Gerry of Massachusetts, heard of it, redrew districting lines in Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
That looked so ridiculous. It looked like a salamander. So just wait. You're going to die.
Kidding me?
No, shut up. I'm going to say it. So Elbridge Gerry drew a salamander gerrymandering.
Oh my
you guys,
God.
Our country is a joke. Oh. Gerrymandering from Elbridge Gerry.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And just so we can do a little throwback to some of our lessons prior, he drew them to favor Democratic Republicans over Federalists, a.k.a. TJ over everybody else.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is insane.
That is why we have the term gerrymandering. And something else that I want to point out that is stupid about gerrymandering is that the politicians are the ones drawing the lines. Talk to me about that.
It is fucking stupid.
Okay,
I
great.
Agree.
I love that.
Totally agree.
You are the most articulate person I've ever met, and I just had to say that.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that is stupid. Sometimes they are done by like bipartisan committees.
Which are still politicians.
Politicians, but at least it's bipartisan in a way. Like there are people from both parties.
Yeah.
Or people from no party, like on a, like they're not associated with a party.
I know.
Like on
it's
a
like,
committee,
is there a world in which it's not a partisan thing? Like it's somebody's job. That's not
to draw them.
Yeah. That he like a engineer. I don't know what they do, but it sounds like they could draw lines.
Right. But then I think you get into the question of like, you know, like when the president appoints somebody to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Those judges aren't supposed to be partisan in any way, but because they're appointed by the president, they automatically have like the label of like a conservative judge because Trump appointed them or Reagan appointed them or whomever.
Yeah.
The only way that you could get around partisan, like somebody not partisan creating the boundaries is if they were like an elected official and they weren't a part of a party on a ballot.
Right. You know what we need? Monarchy. I volunteer.
Okay, great.
Okay. So I'm going to become Queen of America literally Queen Elizabeth exists to not have an opinion. It's brilliant.
She just like gavels.
Not to say that we should regress, but I think we were a little, you know,
like
quick to judge
quick
the monarchs.
To judge.
Yeah, I understand.
Not so wait, just, I, you know,
just to clarify, you're not Queen Elizabeth and Mike Pence, and
right now just the two. I'm a busy bee filling both of their shoes right now. So the bit like. The Supreme Court has ruled on gerrymandering approximately 3,296 times in the course of our history.
Exactly.
Why can we not come up with a consensus? Like, why can't there be a ruling that solves gerrymandering? Because, do you know what I mean?
Yes, because the courts don't want to get involved in politics.
Okay.
That's not, that they're supposed to be explicitly not involved in political decisions.
How is gerrymandering gerrymandering politics?
Because you're essentially deciding whatever you rule, if you're ruling against it or for it, you're ruling for the party that either you're ruling against the party that gerrymandered the district. Or for the party that was being hurt by the gerrymandering.
Right, but if you set a standard of like you can't, which we'll talk about in a second of what they've ruled on, like you know, partisan race and population.
Yeah.
If you set a standard for those three things and it, like, it's not always going to affect Republicans and it's not always going to affect Democrats. You know, it's going to even out who's being affected by, like, proper lines.
Totally. Yeah, yeah.
But it's frustrating to me that every year the Supreme Court hears 2 to 5 gerrymandering cases. And sometimes they contradict ones before that. Sometimes it's like, yes, we said you could do this over here in Maryland, but now we're in Texas and you know what? Something else is different.
Yeah.
I understand that the Supreme Court is not supposed to be political, but like everything's political.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like abortion's political.
Yeah, I think because this is so clearly you're dealing with the political parties.
Right. Well, the party system doesn't work. So no, the Supreme Court needs to call me.
We should be a parliamentary.
We should. Again, I'm just saying, I think that we were a little quick to judge. All that to say, that's why I want a queen. And I want to be queen.
You want to be queen.
I
want
to be queen.
A queen.
You no,
want to be
why,
queen?
It's me. You know, and my name is Elizabeth. We keep it consistent. I'm just saying it's not hard. I'm not making it hard on people. I'm, you know, it, you already associate Queen Elizabeth with something.
Right. It could be you. It should be you.
Did I ever tell you that my dream, like my greatest dream in life is to call the Queen and go, Lizzie, it's Lizzie. That's it. I don't know what I would say after
Lizzie,
it, but I just...
Lizzie,
it's Lizzie. What's up? You know? Because we have the same name. So, okay. So...
What just happened?
Look, I blacked out. That's what happened. So let's talk about Supreme Court historical cases and like why we are the way we are. Because I think people will be shooketh when they find out how many times this has been ruled on. Total, I have no idea. Again, I think it's some more like 3,276 times.
Yeah, exactly right.
But so there are three areas in which the Supreme Court rules on. So one is population.
Yep.
The second one is race.
Yep.
And the third one is partisanship.
Yes. And I just want to give a little shout out. A lot of this research is coming from the National Conference of State Legislatures. So I just want to, you know, cite our source. That's where a lot of this
I love that. Yes. Yeah. Citing sources. So walk me through some of these cases and why they matter.
Okay, great. So the court started ruling on gerrymandering cases back in the 60s. And the first thing that they did was the Baker versus Carr, where they gave the federal courts the jurisdiction just to decide on constitutionality of districts drawn by state legislatures.
Do we know what was happening before the 60s? Like how?
I don't think that people had particularly wisened up to gerrymandering. Like this is where it first started to come to the
I see. Foreground. So like lines had just been being drawn.
And generally, I think, you know. I think it was at this point where you see like a turn to conservatism, a turn to like to McCarthyism and all that stuff that you start seeing like the conservative Republican Party really kind of like double down on their like voter suppression stuff. This is also like during the civil rights era.
Yeah.
So I think that's where a lot of this is coming from. I mean, that's my educated guess and that's not something the courts have said, but
Look, the courts have not said much, let me tell you.
They reverse themselves sometimes.
I love that.
Yeah, so Baker versus Carr in 1962, that was the very first, the first one that gave them, like, jurisdiction to even say yay or nay in gerrymandering cases. Then the next year, they decided that basically one person should have one vote.
The
equivalent of two votes just because you live in a district, like, where you have more representation than somebody in the district next to you. So they established the standard for equality of representation of one person, one vote in Gray versus Sanders in 1963. This case was basically about, it was from Georgia, and they had essentially like a version of the Electoral College in the state, but only for the Democratic Party.
Okay, stop.
So they did stop. Like a weighted voting system.
For just the Democratic
for
Party.
For just the Democratic Party.
So like
Party.
For like primary stuff?
Yeah, so Georgia, this is literally verbatim from the National Conference of State Legislatures. Georgia tabulated votes for candidates in the Democratic Party for statewide offices in accordance with the population of the county in which the votes were cast.
No.
So depending on how many people live in your county, that's what they base the weight on of your vote.
I just want to help. I want to be helpful. But when I see things like that, you know when something happens to your friend and you find out so like after the fact and your response is, why didn't you call me?
Right.
Georgia, why didn't you call me?
I would have helped you.
I would have helped you.
I would have held your hair back.
I would have been there, hadn't given the chance. I feel like this was a dumb idea.
This was a dumb idea. And so like clearly egregious because, and this is where like your point about how is this not partisan, like gerrymandering is like clearly a partisan political thing.
Mm-hmm.
The court was like, yes, this is clearly a partisan and political thing in this case because you're only doing it to one party.
For one party.
And you're doing it to the party that has they have less power than the Republican Party in Georgia.
Right.
So you're holding people back and that's not fair. So that was a big one.
That established
one person, one vote.
Sure.
And then there are some other cases in between here. The next like major case is Gaffney versus Cummings in 1973. And this ruling had some to do with like districting for population, but districting and gerrymandering for partisanship. So in terms of population, like each congressional district has to have like relatively the same amount of people in the district. So this ruling said that redrawing doesn't need to happen unless the difference between the population in the largest district in the state and the smallest district in the state is 10%. So as long as that difference is less than 10%,
under 10%.
You don't have to redraw the lines.
Based on population.
Based on population. And I guess we should have said this at the top, but like the census that happens every 10 years, that's where they're getting these numbers from.
Ah, yes. So,
but that's how we get the very basic fundamental numbers about how many states, about how many representatives each state gets.
Mm.
Yeah. And so in Gaffney versus Cummings, they basically said, if you have 10 districts, and the difference in population is less than 10% between District 1 and District 10, or the largest and the smallest, then you don't have to redistrict.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, like that makes sense to me.
Okay.
Like that's basically saying if the difference isn't huge, it's fine.
It's fine.
This case also had something to say about partisanship.
What did it say? What did they say?
That the Supreme Court basically said that the state's attempt to fairly allocate political power to the parties in accordance with their voting strength is constitutional. And they found that political fairness is a legitimate basis for gerrymandering.
Okay, wait, hold on. Stop.
I know.
Okay, stop.
This is heavy.
Everybody stop. Nobody move. What?
Yeah. What they had done, and I didn't write down which state this was, so forgive me for that. But
it's one of the 50.
It was one of the 50 states. They used the results from the preceding three statewide elections to draw the Republican and Democratic legislative seats that would, they wanted it to reflect, they wanted the state legislature to reflect the voting habits of the people living in the state.
Great.
Which in theory sounds nice, right?
Yeah. But I don't trust it. I don't trust
it. Right, I don't trust that.
I don't trust that.
It just sounds sketchy.
I know.
To
and
me.
Again, it's just, I feel, and again, I don't know, but I just get nervous when we draw districts. We're so ingrained in a two-party system that I feel like it's locked us into a system of government that doesn't really work, you know? I know that gerrymandering is for
Right. Two parties is what we have, right. And that's the thing. It's just, it's frustrating that, that like, this is based on that.
Right.
Because it like, it feels like no matter what, it can't be fair.
Yeah, I understand that. And it sounds like what this state, the real state, State X of the United States, was trying to do in this case in Gaffney versus Cummings was they were trying to make it as fair as possible by actually going back and looking at the voting habits.
Yeah.
If you're talking about statewide elections, then you're looking at like the voting habits of maybe over a 6-year period.
Right.
And so you have some data to back up your districting. And the court ruled that like, that's okay. Because at the end of the day, you have to draw them somehow.
I know.
Like,
you have to have to draw them. I know.
Are you advocating for like a robot to do this?
Yes.
You want an algorithm.
I would love an algorithm. I think that's fair. Yeah. I don't like that human beings with political affiliations, aka politicians, draw these lines. I don't like it. I mean, like, an elected official or an appointed person where this is their only job, maybe that's, I feel a little more comfortable with that. But the fact that it's the lawmakers of each flipping state, either like sometimes it's just the party in power or sometimes it's, you know, a bipartisan thing. But those are the people coming in and drawing the lines. That's crazy. Like, that's crazy to me.
It's crazy.
I don't someone call me and talk me down from this cliff I'm on.
OK, so let's talk about So in terms of population with Supreme Court cases, we're at the court basically is holding set a precedent and is maintaining their one person, one vote rule.
Bless. We're so grateful. Thank you.
We've talked a little bit about partisan gerrymandering. I guess we can talk about this, like the most recent court case that was decided. And by recent, I mean, it was 15 years ago.
Yes. Yesterday.
Vieth versus
Jubilee.
That might be what it is. It might be French. So this court case in 2004 was the most recent one that they decided in terms of partisanship. They do have things before them that they're going to take up in March of 2019, and we're going to get to those and what those would mean and what the structure of those cases are. But back in the Vieth versus the French guy case, they ruled that the partisan gerrymandering cases were non-judiciable.
What does non-judiciable mean?
It means that they are like not, they don't belong in court.
Okay. I'm gonna fucking lose it.
The justices shouldn't be ruling on them.
And then who should be ruling on them is what I ask. So like, what do you mean you're not? That's like being like, that's like saying, you know, I as a doctor, I don't think it's my place to say what your treatment for, you know, boils and sores should be. I don't think it's my place. I don't think it's my place to say that. I don't think you have any business here in a hospital with your boils and sores. I mean, I'll say like perhaps use this, but like you really should figure this out at home. Are you joking? Are you joking? Of all the people, the Supreme Court is not supposed to be the entity that rules on gerrymandering cases. Then who? Me? As the queen? I'll do it. I'm so upset. I'm sweating. Who said this?
This was the decision. So Kennedy.
Oh, call me Kennedy.
Kennedy, you're not gonna like what he has to say, but it's a window into the he left a window open. So Kennedy, who's like the swing vote.
Yeah, well, I know all about sweet little Kennedy.
Yeah, but he hinted that future cases could be argued. Future like partisan gerrymandering cases could be argued under a violation of the First Amendment, which is not where you would think this would go.
Why are we here? Why are we here?
Again, we've been here. This did not come up in our First Amendment episode.
It did not, because why would it?
Because why would it?
Why would it?
Here's why it would.
Okay, great.
The First Amendment protects your freedom of speech and freedom of assembly.
I am aware.
Yeah. And so they said that the partisan gerrymandering, this is like from the I think this is actually from the decision, that a partisan gerrymander would be unconstitutional not for violating the rights of the aggrieved party, but because voters of a particular party would be retaliated against by the government via a redistricting plan for the previously expressed speech of voting for a particular party. So what that means is that the legislature, whoever is drawing the lines in a state,
yeah,
Kennedy is saying, why don't y'all argue that the state legislature is retaliating against the people in that state who voted for a party? Let's say it's the Republican Party. If you voted for a Republican Party and your state, the Republican Party, and your state is run by a Democratic legislature, and those are the people who are redrawing the lines, mm-hmm, you could then argue that those lines are being redrawn to punish the people who voted for the Republican Party in that state.
Okay,
that's great. What he's saying.
Yeah,
somebody might want to try.
Oh, great. I love that. But
the linchpin in that is that you're considering voting to be speech.
Oh, my
God. Just like money is speech.
Money is speech.
Voting is speech.
What if speech was speech? You know what I mean?
Okay. So what you're saying is, I'm literally holding my face together.
You can't
together.
See her. She is literally, her hands are on her face.
What you're saying, I knew this would upset me. What you're saying is, Kennedy is suggesting that instead of coming up with cases that are gerrymandering cases, to come up with cases that are free speech cases that have to do with gerrymandering.
They're all gerrymandering cases. He's saying the argument that you're using about like equal protection or anything that
is they've speech?
Used, it's, you would be more likely for that. A better argument might be that they're violating, that this, the legislatures that are drawing these districts are violating the freedom of speech.
Is
of
he
the
just
voters.
Like giving us the answer to the test?
I think he's like been sitting for 15 years waiting for somebody to be like, I got you. I'm picking up what you're putting down, Kennedy.
I love it.
Bring
I love that it's almost like this situation of like, you know, if I was, you know, a young lawyer arguing gerrymandering, you know, hypothetically, let's say that I wanted to go to the Supreme Court with it. What I would do, and again, this is all very hypothetical and fictional, you know, maybe what I would do is I would say, what about the First Amendment?
Kennedy, please call me. I feel we need to have a tete-a-tete, because this,
do you think this would happen? Do you think people will start arguing as a First Amendment?
I think people are going to get more nuanced in their approaches, because also, you know, they sent back the Wisconsin case to the lower court because they basically said that the plaintiffs in the Wisconsin case didn't have standing.
What is standing?
Standing means like you have enough vested interest in the issue at hand that you have a claim before the court.
So they did not have a legitimate claim.
No. Which,
okay, stop. Everybody sit down. If you don't have enough of a claim, right? Enough standing, as the kids say.
Right.
How in FDR's name do you get to the Supreme Court? You know, because you have to like go through things, right? Or can I get in the car and drive to the Supreme Court and be like, knock, knock, ding, dong, it's me, and I have a case. You know, because I'm polite. I'm not going to just barge in. You don't know what they're doing.
T-shirt number three. Somebody
knock, knock, ding, dong. I'm coming in. You know, like, but you know what I mean? How do you get all the way up? Because I assume you have to go through courts before the Supreme Court. Like, there are undercourts, or that's not what they're called, but circuits or something. How do you get all the way up to the top? Like, how do you climb the mountain only for the people at the top of the mountain to be like, you're not wearing shoes? You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy to me. Who's monitoring? Who let Wisconsin get up the mountain without shoes on?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Someone call me. I'm about to start crying. Oh, I'm so upset.
Please write this into your bit.
I'll try. But you know, I don't understand how this can possibly be happening.
So is our producer.
You don't have standing. You know? Who's in the circuit courts?
I don't know.
Sweating. I'm so this is why I can't be a Supreme Court justice, you know? The only reason. Otherwise I'm very qualified.
You're very qualified.
But do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I understand. It's I understand why that's frustrating.
Because that just highlights to me a hugely inefficient system of it's hugely expensive to go through these things, and it takes so much time, and a lot of things are on hold while this is happening,
right?
Only to get to the top and for them to be like, you know, it's like being at the DMV and then they tell you, oh, you're missing this one sheet of paper.
Right.
And nobody told you about it, but you can't get your driver's license, you know. So I feel defeated.
Literally defeated.
But it is concerning to me that this idea that cases can get all the way up to the Supreme Court only for them to say there's no claim here.
There's no claim here.
Okay. So we talked about
partisan cases.
And population.
And population. So let's talk about cases that the Supreme Court has heard about gerrymandering in regards to race.
Yes.
Okay. So the first, one of the first cases that they decided was Beer versus the U.S. in 1973, mm-hmm. which held that the Voting Rights Act only prohibits regression of representation.
Okay. What does that mean?
Which means that you, if you're talking about districts that have been gerrymandered to support representation of a minority group, that you can't redistrict the state and give them less representation. So if you have, you know, 10 districts in your state, two of them are gerrymandered so that the people in those districts are majority Black people, so their voices are being elevated, mm-hmm. where they otherwise might not have been if those votes had been dispersed mm-hmm. among the other districts. You can't, in a redistricting plan, you couldn't go back and take away one of their gerrymandered districts to be one.
I see.
And this is under the Voting Rights Act. So states regulated under this law needed to, at this time, not NAMOA, to seek permission from the Attorney General in order to make these kinds of changes. So they couldn't just make them ad hoc.
Uh-huh.
They had to come up with a plan.
Submit it
to the Attorney General.
The Attorney General of the state or of?
The United States.
The United States.
The Attorney General.
Yeah. And now they don't have to do that.
Now they don't
have
to do that.
Wait, so what do they submit their homework to? You know what I mean? Like, who's...
They don't submit their homework.
They just
do whatever the fuck they want.
They draw the lines and then they say, this is it.
This is it.
There's no, shall we say, checks and balances anymore.
No.
Why was that struck down?
That was struck down because that was Shelby County versus Holder. And I remember this happening. When they basically said, like, they don't need protections anymore. Everything is better now.
Holder. Eric Holder, the attorney general for Obama. Yes. Yeah, sorry. I just made that connection. Because he's the attorney general who is like,
yeah.
And wait. Okay. So Shelby County was like, they don't need protecting anymore. Like, it's fine.
It's good.
We're doing well. We're doing great.
It's so great.
Everything's great. You can tell we're a super equal country. La, la, la. And then the Supreme Court was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
That makes... Have they read the Constitution? They know the checks and balances?
Clearly they've never been to the South.
Clearly they've never been to the South.
Or, you know, to Harlem.
Honestly, there's nothing more to say than I'm not upset, I'm disappointed.
Right.
Like, I'm literally about to have a meltdown.
I know. I can feel it coming again.
I know. The room is getting tense. Because I really can't handle this. That's stupid. That's stupid that you can just draw lines and the only check, I guess, to that is bringing it to the Supreme Court again. That's the only check because the Supreme Court won't create another check.
No, and you would have to have some kind of you would have to bring a case that would, I don't think they would overturn. You'd have to bring something that would create a clear difference, like a new case that had some kind of distinctive qualifier that they would
shall
have
we
to,
say
like,
that
rule
it's like
a
violation
on.
Of the First Amendment. Right. I don't know. I don't
Something
know where like who again, who's to say that that's the idea that's on the table? I'm just saying Justice Kennedy, if I was arguing gerrymandering case. Okay. So that's stupid. Great.
That's stupid.
Love it.
Yeah.
Hate it.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
What's next? Should we talk about Bush versus Vera in 1996 for race?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I love that your first bullet point is, again, Texas, but please explain what happened in Texas this time.
This time. The state, so again, like after when we talked about the census, this is what happened. The state was awarded 3 additional congressional districts following a reapportionment.
What does that mean? I like how you paused because you knew I was going to ask what that word meant.
Where you divvy up the districts anew.
Ah, yes. Yes, yes,
right?
Yes.
Following a reapportionment from the census. So they redistricted the entire state.
Great.
Because they got new, They got three. They got new three districts, new districts.
So they big.
Had to go through and like figure some shit
draw.
Out.
Yeah, yeah.
The state, Texas, used race as a proxy for political affiliation. And so they put all of the like black and Latinos into particular districts because they used race as a proxy for political party.
Right.
And the state, the Supreme Court struck down three of the 24 districts that were challenged in court because they said that you could not use race as a proxy
for partisanship.
For partisanship.
Yeah. What then do you use? I mean, again, I agree. Race is not to be used as like an indicator on how you vote.
Right.
But what is used? Like your voting record?
For drawing the line?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
Not all the time.
Not because all the time, why it's all done by different states. And different states have their...
You know what would be cute? Can I just say something that would be super cute? It's going to be wild, but I think it would be adorable if we had a federal standard on how each state drew lines.
They tried that. There was...
What happened?
There was one case, I forget which one it was, but it was... they basically said... we have to have a standard.
Yes.
And
was it me back in time?
It was you back in time. yeah.
I've lived another life. I'm the exact same.
It was you back in time. They said we have to have some kind of standard, mm-hmm. some kind of burden of proof to prove that somebody, that this was partisan in some way, mm-hmm. and that there are people hurt by this partisan drawing of districts. But the burden of proof was so high that they couldn't find anybody to meet the standard.
I meet the standard. I am the burden. It's me. Let's do it again. I will go to the Supreme Court. I will knock, knock, and ding dong. And I will go in and be... I will announce myself as the burden of proof. And we will get this federally
I will realized. Bring you.
You will bring me.
I will bring you.
You will argue my case. Exactly. It's First Amendment. We'll wink at Justice Kennedy. We'll be like, heard ya.
I heard ya.
We got you, boo. I feel like we should try again. You know, this is what I hate is when we tried it once and it didn't work, mm-hmm. and then nothing happened again.
Right.
It's like, okay, we didn't get right the first time.
Right.
Perhaps we get another go.
Right.
Let's at trying try to figure again. Out like a federal standard.
Right.
So that way Texas isn't just showing up every other year to the Supreme Court being like, oops, we did it again. We did it again. Our hand was in the cookie jar again. Sorry, mom.
Sorry.
They're like poorly behaved teenagers.
Yeah.
So where does this leave us?
So this leaves us in our current situation.
Which is great.
Which is great.
I wouldn't want anything more for us.
The Supreme Court is going to hear two cases.
No way.
They do two a year.
I know.
That's their max.
That's why
they had to turn down Wisconsin. That was going to be three. They couldn't do
it. I know.
Couldn't. So they're hearing two cases in March of this year, 2019. And they're hearing the case in Maryland where it's...
What are they doing?
Democrats that have been accused of political gerrymandering, and in North Carolina where it's the Republicans that have been accused.
I love it. It's very West Side Story.
Yeah. So the... Republicans claim that in Maryland, the Republicans claim that Democrats redistricted part of the western, like the western area of the state, mm-hmm. in the favor of Democrats to increase their hold on the state from six Democratic representatives to two Republican representatives, and they made it 7-1. So the
Republicans lost.
Yeah. So, six Democratic reps to seven. Republican representatives went down from 2-1. And there's like some like truth to that. The margin of the district swung. There's one particular district that they're looking at. And the margin of the district swung from a Republican winning by 68% mm-hmm. to a Democrat winning by 21%.
I mean,
that's a heavy swing.
I see it. That's a big swing. Mm-hmm. All right.
So there's some legitimacy to that.
Right.
The Republican challengers claimed that the Democrats retaliated against them for voting. This is like going back to Kennedy's free speech thing. This is where they're using this argument. The Republican challengers claimed that the Democrats retaliated against them for voting Republican. And thus they claimed it was a violation of their freedom of speech and assembly.
If I was playing devil's advocate. Because you can still vote, you know, it's like it doesn't inhibit your right to vote, right?
It's also like...
Because you can still vote in that district. I understand that when you...
Right.
When gerrymandering happens, it means that you don't have equal representation in your legislature. You know, you don't have the opportunity to get
somebody who represents you into the higher areas to basically make laws for you.
Right.
You know, but this argument of freedom of speech, like, you are not allowing me to voice my vote. Right. It's like, technically, you can still vote.
You can still vote. I also feel like this, like, the burden of proof here, like, I understand the freedom of speech argument. I think it's really nebulous that you're, yeah. It's like the whole state is being retaliated. Like, the voters in the state, hundreds of thousands of them are being personally retaliated against by a legislature for vote. Like, that is really hard to prove, that whatever that body is that's drawing these lines is retaliating against these people, which is like, that seems like really, like, how do you judge that? How do you prove that?
I have literally 0% idea.
Unless there's, like, you know, George Washington Bridge, Chris Christie era-esque emails that are like, shut it down. Oh, you know, there are emails that are like, we hate them. We want more blues districts.
More,
like,
blue districts.
Right, that's clear.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if emails like that were sent. Sometimes
WhatsApp messages.
Sometimes I see
like
evidence that like comes up to sort of condemn politicians for doing shady stuff, and I'm like, do you guys watch?
Right.
Do you the West know? Wing? Do you watch? Do you watch like Law and Order? It's not hard to find evidence.
No, you can find it.
Don't put it in writing.
No.
Like, rule of thumb, if you're going to do something shady, don't put it in writing.
Have a phone call.
Yep. Say it in person.
Yep. Meet for coffee.
Meet for tea. God almighty.
Yeah. So in November of last year, in 2018, the district court ruled for the plaintiffs, and they ordered that.
Ruled for the Republicans. They ruled for the Republicans. Your freedom of speech has been violated. Right.
And they said they had to draw a new map. But the Democrats in the state, because it's Maryland, it's a Democratic one, state. The Democrats were like, no.
Love it.
We're going to go to SCOTUS.
And they knock, knock, ding,
and
dong.
And they knock, knock, ding, dong on SCOTUS's door. The other one that they'll hear is about North Carolina. And it's the same kind of thing. So the lower courts ruled that Republicans violated voter rights when they redrew the lines.
Great.
And that Republicans, in turn, Republicans, this I find absolutely hilarious. The Republicans are claiming that the Democrats just want to see more Democrats elected to office. Sure. First of all, fucking duh.
I mean, yeah. I honestly have nothing more to say.
What to say about that? Like, you, like that, first of all. Second of all, you did the exact same thing. You do the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what party does not want to see more people of their own party in office? That is the whole point of parties.
Yes.
Okay, my turn to you.
I know. I love it. Love it. Honestly, it's so nice to not feel like, you know. Like,
the reasoning is so fucking stupid. This is where I was like, I almost threw my computer across the room.
I love. Tell me. I feel like I'm going to take it really well.
This is amazing. The Republicans claim that a voter, this in North Carolina, this is what they're claiming. A voter cannot go to court just because there is not proportional representation in his state.
Okay.
If anyone is injured from the lack of proportional representation,
Who is it?
Said the legislators. It would be the member of Congress. Fuck you and the horse your mother rode in on.
Absolutely
what the
not.
Fuck?
Absolutely. Let me tell you something, Arden, that you may or may not know. Members of Congress are fine. They're doing great. They're doing super. They're doing better than us.
Right.
They're doing better than us.
That's who is hurt by this?
Like, yes.
The gall of these Republicans.
The gall.
But what is that?
So right now what it stands, the case that they're hearing is.
So it's going to go, it's like a pretty basic redistricting, like you made it it's the Republicans redistricting
right,
in their favor.
Right, but that's what I don't understand. If it's like a basic gerrymandering case, which is what we see like pretty much every year, we see a basic like the Republicans did something shady or the Democrats did something shady and the Supreme Court comes and is like, no, you can't do that.
Right.
Why in Teddy Roosevelt's name is this happening every year?
Because
why can't they be like, now that I've set this precedent, you know, like when other things that they rule on, it's like the precedent has already been set that like gay marriage is legal because we've ruled that.
Right.
Why can't a precedent be set on gerrymandering? It's like when you do these three things, it's not, you can't even come here.
Right.
You can't even come to my door. You cannot knock, knock, ding, dong if it's one of these three things. Somebody call me. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I know.
The one thing that they will not set a precedent on is gerrymandering.
Yep. No, I know. I think I mean, I said it in the beginning. I think they're really reluctant. I think some of the justices, not all of them, are
we're not going to name names.
Not going to name names. Are reluctant to like rule in a political, in a case that's so clearly political because it has to do with the political parties, which is basically like.
I mean, it does, but it's also, it, but it also doesn't. Like the reason why it exists is because of political parties. That right. is true.
Right.
But creating a standard for how you can draw lines, that's not political. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you cannot do those things.
Right.
Like, that's what I don't understand, because that's just, that's like structuring, that's just structural.
Right.
You know, and granted, yes, it is about the whole, like, you know, representation of the parties, but like, we can't keep right. not ruling.
Deciding about
you know,
it, yeah.
we can't keep being like, so this time it's, you know, you right. can't do that. And the next time it's that. Because they're actually, they're relatively consistent.
Mm-hmm. They've been pretty, I mean, like, they've
you know, it's like you do something shady, they're going to be like, you can't do that. And right. they'll strike it down.
Right.
But just set the precedent. Or maybe, I don't know, is it the SCOTUS's job but, to set these rules? I don't know. But like, so.
Yeah. I think they're trying to save what little independence there is left of the Supreme Court. That's the point. Like, the justices are supposed to be independent.
Totally. But again, I think if you're looking at like the process of it, that's not partisan. Like how, like just like how a bill becomes a law, it that's not partisan. You know, like there are steps
right,
that
right,
you
right,
take.
Right, 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 totally.
You know, it's yeah. structural. Yeah. And those things we've decided on and we all agree upon. And when you don't do that, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I don't understand why the same thing can't happen for gerrymandering. Again, I should be on the Supreme Court.
I think like the more, I think if you had like Democratic states that, or any like, any state, if you had a group of states that put into place some kind of like automated line drawing system, mm-hmm. like the robot that you want.
Yeah.
And then there were other states that still had politicians like drawing their lines.
Yeah.
That there could be a case in the future about like, well, my vote is less... is less representative, is less equal, and is more subject to like oppression and mm-hmm. like violations of my freedom of speech than somebody who lives in like California, because California in this scenario would use some kind of system to like draw their lines.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, that's like, I feel like that could be
the next step.
Like in 50 years where yeah. we're headed. So the other thing that makes me, this is where I'm going to get angry.
Yes. Let it out. Hear her roar. Talk to me. Talk to me.
I just growled.
You did. You did growl.
This is where I get angry. Okay. The court has decided that it's one fucking person, one fucking vote, right?
Yeah, that is exactly the verbiage.
This is the reasoning that we have. This is yes. the precedent. So when I was doing the research, I was like, then why do we still have the goddamn Electoral College? Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. Why? Why? It's not one person, one vote.
It's not.
It's not. I get like a tenth of an eighth of a percent of a vote, and somebody in Wyoming gets 20. It's not that stark, but right. it's basically that is the
it's very
realm.
Extreme.
That is the extreme that we're living in. And I had this moment where I got severely depressed, and I didn't have wine, and I was really upset by that.
My home, my love.
Because I realized that even though we have the Supreme Court precedent, that's one person, one vote, we could never use it against the Electoral College, because the Electoral College is in the fucking Constitution.
It is.
And you can't, even though they've ruled that this like a violation of one person, one vote is unconstitutional, those two things will never square. We'll like right. never use that as a reason to get rid of the Electoral College. It is the biggest fucking catch-22 that I have totally. Ever heard of. And I was so angry and upset.
Yes. I mean, as you should be.
Again, because it's ridiculous.
As I've said many times, our country was built upon a first draft of an idea, mm-hmm. and then nobody revised it.
No.
They really didn't.
I think pages got lost.
Pages like, got lost. There were fires. Like we said, it was on parchment, which disintegrates in sunlight. So we are built on a first draft of a country. That's what we are. Like, not like that's why we have so many issues now, is because we were built on a first draft and refused to revise.
Right.
Like a very, very deep, like seated reluctance to make any sort of revisions of how things work, because there's history and there's precedent. And, you know, America doesn't have a ton of history because it's a relatively younger country. And so we're very precious about these things that, you know, are American values, what this country was built upon.
Like slavery.
And I'm like, you guys, this country was built upon, like, pine wood, which is not very sturdy. Like, imagine like having a house that you build out of a pine tree.
And you went in a bucket.
Which is not a sturdy wood. You build this house and then you discover bricks. And you're like, man, I would love to really just sort of like put some bricks on this pine. But I mean, we built it on pine. But like, I would be violating my identity if I were to put a sturdier material on an unsturdy structure. What? Like, it's like an invasion of the identity. And I'm like, no, you guys, it's like getting a haircut, right? It's
Did you just come up with this?
Yes.
This is so fucking smart.
Oh, thank you so much. I am sweating and blacked out.
I love when people are like, you can't change the Constitution. Like,
yeah. Yes, you can. Actually, you can. Bitch?
Like, that's
there is actually a process to change the Constitution.
That's right.
I feel like we built a country where we could make laws and take them away. Like, we created that system for ourselves. And now we live in a society where we won't touch anything.
Right.
Democracy is giving people power. Nothing says more like power than the person who has the most votes receiving the office. That's an execution of that power.
Yeah.
So, and the Electoral College, because it does not allow that 100% of the time, the Electoral College, if it should work and should stay, it should reflect that the majority of the population voted for this candidate.
Right. And to bring it back to our topic of today.
Gerrymandering. Don't make me mad.
Did you forget? That's the argument behind, like, when you have, like, 60% of a state will vote for the Democratic representatives who are running for offices in their state. And yet they only get, you know, they get 3 Democratic reps out of the 10 possible.
Right.
Who are, you know, like, there's a misalignment there. And that a lot of that is due to, most of that is due to gerrymandering. Like, the people are, they want more Democratic representation and they're not getting it because of things like the Electoral College, things like gerrymandering that are reigning in their votes in ways that are suppressing their voice. And that's a good end point.
I feel like I feel hope and I've never been happier in my life. I've never felt more joy. I've never had more fun. I'm not angry. But thank you for joining us on this journey, guys.
It was a roller coaster today.
It was a roller coaster. I felt a lot. I learned a lot.
Great.
It's a hard topic.
It's a really hard topic.
Because it's not regulated. It's so case by case.
Yep. In and of itself, gerrymandering is...
Could
not be more confusing.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
But thank you for joining us. We love you. And we will see you next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Bye.